or God is with you. This is a story taken from the Gospel of Mark. Jesus came home with his disciples, and again the crowd gathered, making it impossible to even eat. When his relatives heard of this, they set out to seize him and said, "He's out of his mind. He's crazy." And the scribes who came in from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebub. By the prince of demons does he drive out these demons." Summoning them, Jesus began to tell them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, the house is not able to stand either. If Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. That is the end of him. But no one who enters a strong man's house can plunder the property unless first he ties up the strong man. And then he can plunder the house. Amen, I say to you, all of you and all of your sins and all your blasphemes, they are forgiven. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. But this guilt is of an everlasting sin. And he said this because he claimed that he is an unclean spirit. Now, his mother and brothers arrived, and they were standing outside and sent word to him and to call him out. And the crowd said, "Your brother and your mother and your sisters are all outside asking for you." And Jesus said and replied, "Who is my mother and my brothers and sisters?" And looking among those in his circle seated, he says, "Here is my mother, my brothers, my sister. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and is my sister." People of God, hear what the Spirit is saying. So what do you think Mary was calling Jesus? When Debbie's mom was mad at her, she called Deborah K. When Lou's mom was calling, it was Lewis. We all have those names, don't we? I wonder what Jesus was called. And I want to take time to look at two sentences. One is about Jesus' family, and that they were going to seize him because they believed he was crazy. Any of your family ever think you were crazy? And the second one I want to talk about is there an unforgivable sin? Don't cock your head, Tom. I find there's intriguing things to take a look at. And one of the problems that I believe we have many times in interpreting and looking at Scripture is we just look at one little story and take that one little story all by itself. And it really is a broader thing. Mark has a special way of doing that. They call it sandwiching. He starts out in the beginning of chapter 2 and says, Jesus comes home. Now, in chapter 1, he's already been doing some different miracles that he's been doing. And Jesus comes home, and the people, his family, his friends, they hear about it. And all the other people have heard about it, and they come to his house. They call it his home, possibly. And there's some, you know the story. There's so many people there, and they bring a paralytic guy, and they have to tear across the roof and then drop him down. What was the first thing Jesus said? "Your sins are forgiven." That was it. And people looked at him. "Wait a minute, he's paralyzed. You're supposed to heal him." And he says, "To show you that there is power to forgive sins, stand up and walk." If we continue to look at it, what was the next thing that happened? Jesus calls Levi as a member. Now, who is Levi? He's a tax collector. What do you think his family was saying about that? Can you believe he's talking to tax collectors? Come on. Well, and then the next scene, he goes and he eats with tax collectors and sinners. And they're going, what is going on with this man? Doesn't he know better? He's bringing shame upon our family. What's happening here? And the next thing he does is John's followers are fasting. Your people don't fast. What, you got a big party going on? Is that what it's going to be about? And Jesus pretty much says that when the bridegroom's with him. The next scene that they have is Jesus is walking down. It's on the Sabbath again. And his disciples are picking corn. I think it's more than just eating corn on Sabbath, but they're eating people's corn. And they say, wait a minute, it's a Sabbath. They can't be doing that. What are you doing? And then we get into chapter 3. Chapter 3, he comes into the local synagogue. And there's a man there with a withered hand. And they're all sitting back. Is he going to heal him? Jesus knows what they're thinking. And he heals him. And it's from that point on that the scribes and Pharisees begin to plot a way to kill him. In that. He was stepping on their territory. The next thing he does is the people are following him and they call him the Son of God. And Jesus says, shh, that's not what it's about. I don't want to hear that. And then he appoints the 12 apostles. And this is all before he comes home. And he's got head on the top. He comes home again. And this time he comes home, there are so many people there that you heard it this morning, that they couldn't even eat. Now, eating's important, amen? So he gets there and they can't even eat. And the people then say that he comes in then, and the family wants to seize him. And they want to wrap him up and say he's crazy. There's a lot of different words. They said he's beside himself, the different translations that are there. And the scribes, they're not the local scribes now. They're the ones from Jerusalem. So they bring in the big boys that are going to confuse him. And they accuse him of doing this by Beelzebub. And we all heard what Jesus said. And then he does the everlasting sin thing, that there is no. When we look at this whole picture, what was it really about? Jesus was forgiven sins. He was showing the power of forgiveness. He was teaching him how that can bring healing and how that can be. What's the lesson for us? Maybe what we need to be doing for each other? Maybe we have the power to forgive sins that have been done against us? And we can say, we're going to move on? What is it about? It's interesting that he goes and says the statement of the when you curse the blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. Keith Giles, who wrote a book, Jesus Unarmed, The Prince of Peace Disarms Our Violence. Now think how much violence is going on. And what was Jesus' message of nonviolence? There seems to be the teaching. He goes on and he quotes, he says, first of all, there is no sin that's not forgivable for God to forgive. It's not according to apostles, not according to Jesus. Jesus says, your sins are forgiven so often they come out of his mouth. Every stranger he meets, Jesus says, you're forgiven. Without anyone even begging for forgiveness, confessing any sins, it's just automatically, know you're forgiven. Wouldn't that be a freeing thing for us to know that? That our sins are forgiven? In fact, whenever God speaks about our sins, it's usually to tell us that God doesn't hold sin against us. And remember, he doesn't remember any of our sins. Now, Jesus does mention, and this is in Matthew, he says, what you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, what you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's not about God, that's us. It's up to when we hold something against somebody, that's our choice. And when we make that choice to keep someone bound, we're carrying a dead body around with us. In many ways, that's what we're doing. See, the point seems to be stop holding things against each other. You've been forgiven so much. Can't you forgive others? And he says in another place, the measure you judge and hold things against, that's the measure that you're going to be judged by. Whew, that's scary to me when I think what I hold against somebody. And do I do that? And that's going to be held against me. I don't think I want that to happen. And so I really have to take a look. And we live in such a judgmental society. I wonder if that's why we have so much violence in our world about that. But that doesn't address the question of the unforgivable sin completely. Keith Giles goes on and says, a lot of what we have becomes problems because of the way we translate it. And over the centuries, there's been different words and different things added that cause confusion. He says, and he's quoting David Bentley Hart, that says the translation really is, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, the Holy One, has no excuse through the age, but is answerable for a transgression through the age. So when we say that God can't forgive us, we're passing that bad teaching on to all others. Because God forgives us all. And that's what lasts through the ages. And that judgment that we have continues, and it seems to give us a right to judge others. And that's not what Jesus was saying at all. He says just the opposite. So there is no unforgivable sin. When we've inherited these things, it's false teaching that we've got. And some of that dictates how we translate. And so we can't do that in that process. So, number one, know that you're forgiven. Know that you're loved. Know that you're accepted. And pass that forgiveness, that love, and acceptance, that challenge to accept is all. And isn't that good news? Now, there's another thing on this. His mother and brothers arrived, and they're standing outside, and they're calling for him. They think he's crazy. How can he forgive others? And you may think I'm crazy saying that we need to forgive others. That's just not the way it happens. I can't forgive them for that. I can't let it go. Maybe that's the secret Jesus is telling. You want freedom in your life? You need to let it go. Who are my brothers and sisters? And he looks around the circle, and we look around this circle. My brothers are those who strive to do the will of God, who strive to love as Jesus loved, who strive to forgive as Jesus forgives. And that's a whole new definition of family. You know, some of us have been rejected by our families. Some have been put out. And he says, that's not what real family is. Real family is all of us in our strengths, in our weaknesses, and sometimes our unthinking that we how we hurt others and what we do to others, that's where we need to understand. It's like what Oprah Winfrey says. It's not what's wrong with you. It's what's happened to you. And oftentimes what's happened to us puts us in bitterness, puts us in hateful ways. But Jesus says we need to heal from that and to grow from that, to not be paralyzed by that, to not be blocked in by that, but to be open to that love. So know today, every one of our sins is forgiven. There is no unforgivable sin. And understand, family is more than blood. Isn't that funny that I did that? Family is more than blood. Family is who we are, is children of God, is ones who want to follow what Jesus taught and be who Jesus calls us to be. I open up for your comments.